Holy Spirit, come and speak to us through the book that you wrote. Oh God, remind us this morning that there are more than mere human beings in this room. The living God is here. And so be the center, Lord, as you cause me to decrease and you increase, Lord, be the center as we listen to your word, because you are speaking, Lord, and you deserve our attention. And so we give you the praise and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Would you grab your Bibles? And if you don't have a Bible, would you grab one of those white Bibles underneath your chair? And would you turn, please, to Acts chapter 12? Acts chapter 12. I want to praise God for one of the gifted leaders that we have here at City of Joy, Terrence Tate, for preaching last week. Let's give it up for our brother. Thankful for him. And as you turn to Acts chapter 12, just a quick recap. Last week, Terrence talked about how Herod, this dude named King Herod in chapter 12, persecuted Peter, killed James, but while Peter was in prison, the church prayed, and when the church prays, glorious things happen. God delivered Peter out of prison, even though this crazy man, Herod, was trying to take his life. And we're going to just read six verses today, Acts chapter 12, verse 20 through 25. We see Herod again. He's on the scene, but not for long. Look at Acts chapter 12, verse 20. Check out this story. It's kind of crazy. It says in verse 20, now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. And they came to him with one accord, and having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they asked for peace because their country depended on the king's country for food. Look at verse 21. And on an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, the voice of a God and not a man. Look at verse 23. Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. Now, the kids should have said, the kids should have said, ew, on that part. So, kids, I'm going to give you another chance. He was eaten by worms. Ew, there you go. And breathed his last. But the word of God increased and multiplied. Last verse, verse 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark. Okay, let me see your eyes for a moment. What's going on here? Okay, we just read those verses. This is a true story. Everything in the Bible is true. So you got this crazy man, Herod. He is angry, right? It says in verse 20, he's angry. Now he's angry with these people from surrounding cities who were peacefully trying to get some food because Herod, being king, had control of the food supply in that area. So there's a little dispute going on. That's why it says that Herod was angry, because the people kept coming to him, right? Saying, look, man, we got to get our food. Verse 20 says they entered into some peace talks with Herod's right-hand man, his homeboy, his man. It was the dude's name was Blastus. I like that name. So they didn't want to starve, right? And because Herod was king, he was in control of all the food distribution in the area. So the people was like, you know what? Look. We can't get to him because he's crazy, right? He done killed James. He done put Peter in prison. We're not talking directly to him, but hey, let's talk to his homeboy, Blastus. And so I could see him now. It's like, hey, yo, Blastus. I just like saying that name. Can y'all say that with me? Blastus. That's just like, Blow. That was his assassin or something like Blastus. Hey, yo, Blastus. Hey, hey, look, look. Tell the king, right? You and him cool, right? Y'all are close. Tell him that he needs to make a new agreement with us so that the ports would be opened up so we can get some food too. Okay? All right, Blastus. So apparently they reached some kind of agreement, and Herod gives a public speech to seal the new deal, right? So in verse 21, look at verse 21, it says, the dude came out in royal robes. Now, there was a guy named Josephus. He was a historian that lived during this time. Now, he didn't write in the Bible, but he wrote real history, and he wrote descriptions of this day. And you can go look in real history. Like, I love the Bible. I love the Christian faith. It's rooted in real history. This ain't just spiritual talk. So Josephus says on this day, King Herod actually came out in some silver sequence type stuff. Like, he was glistening. So he stepped out glistening, like, and Josephus said it was early, so the sun was shining on his, he was glistening robes, and it says he sat up on his throne, right? And then he gives this speech, and I want to do a little role play, because y'all going to be the people, okay? I'll be Herod. He gives this speech, and then the people said, the voice of a God, not a man. Can y'all say that? The voice of a God, not a man. So I'm going to say my speech, and y'all going to say the voice of a God, not a man, because I want y'all to feel what was happening. He got up, and he was glistening, and he's like, okay, I'll give you food, but you must do what I say. I am the great Herod. And then they said,
the voice of the God.
Whoo. And the Bible says he soaked up that flattery. He soaked it up. And notice the scripture says in verse 23, immediately God, the angel of the Lord, God struck him. And what's crazy is it says, and he was eaten by worms and died. Usually, did you catch that? Usually it's, he died, and then the maggots ate his body in the coffin. But this is backwards. It says the worms killed him, and then he died. Herod, I can see it on the news, on the newspaper the next morning. Herod assassinated by worms. Wow. What is the Holy Spirit telling us through this story? What is God trying to say to us? I believe by the Holy Spirit, there are three things that God is saying to you and to me this morning. You're not here by accident, because God wants to use this true tragic story to speak directly to your heart. And number one, he wants to say this. God is unstoppable. Can you say that with me? God is unstoppable. Look at verse 23. It says, immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. But then verse 24 says, but the word of God increased and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul kept ministering. Yeah, that happened to Herod, but look, it didn't stop God. It's not a coincidence that right after Herod died, verse 24 said, but God's word kept going. King Herod, this proud, violent, angry murderer, breathed his last, but the word of God kept on blowing and breathing and moving. Look, God is unstoppable. But no man is unstoppable. After Herod had killed James, and after he put Peter in prison, and then he had some of his guards killed for letting Peter go, he probably thought he was all of that. He probably thought he was stopping the movement. But when God killed him, the gospel still went forward. I want you to know this morning, let me see your eyes. Look, you can be stopped. And one day you will be. I was looking at some clips of an old Tupac documentary. And man, Tupac was like, they ain't gonna, you know, I'm basically gonna live forever. And I'm thinking about a lyric from my man Flame. He says, Five shots couldn't stop me. I took it and smiled. That's a quote from Tupac. Wow, look at him now. Look, every man can be stopped. God is the only one who is unstoppable. Look at what happened to Herod. Look, a little tapeworm virus in the stomach, Herod, stopped a man dead. But all the worms and the insects and the animals and the humans and the demons and the devils in the world can't come close to stopping God and his gospel. Herod died, but the word of God kept going. That's why we've called this series through Acts Unstoppable. Nobody can stop God. They have tried to shut his church down. They've tried to shut the gospel down. They've tried to kill and silence Christians, and it keeps on growing. The movement keeps going. An early church father named Tertullian said, the blood of the martyrs is the growth seed of the church. I was reading a guy that wrote a commentary on the book of Acts, and this is what he said. He caught on to the unstoppable theme. This is a while before we already named it unstoppable. He says, quote, intense persecution, including martyrdom, cannot stop the growth and penetration of God's word through faithful witnesses. Reminds me of Genesis 50:20, where Joseph says, that song we sing sometimes, even what the enemy means for evil, you turn it for our good. You turn it for our good. And for your glory, everything the devil means to stop God and his people is only gasoline to make the fire burn brighter and spread further. Do you hear what I said? Everything this life throws at God and his people, God turns it into gasoline to make the fire of his gospel burn brighter and spread further. You cannot stop him. You might as well join him. Tupac, Biggie, LeBron, everybody else, every rapper, every celebrity. If you don't get on board, he will run you over. God cannot be stopped. Herod, he will hire some worms to assassinate you in humiliation. Our God and his gospel, through the mouths of his faithful witnesses, cannot be stopped. Here in East St. Louis, throughout the world, that ought to make you bold and hit the corner and tell them about Jesus. So number one, we see the Holy Spirit is saying, God can't be stopped. But number two, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and to me from this tragic true story to get ready for your appointment. Get ready for your appointment. Can you say that with me? Get ready for your appointment. Verse 21. Interesting words. It says, on an appointed day. Like he put on his robe and he got on his throne and he said this speech. Why did it say it was an appointed day? Why didn't it say Thursday morning? No, it said an appointed day. What kind of appointment did Herod have, Mark? What kind of appointment are we talking about? Was it a doctor's appointment? Doctor's appointment? Maybe it was a doctor's appointment. No. What about, maybe it was a dentist appointment. That's what he was talking about. So he got up, it was appointed, he had a doctor's appointment. No. Look, y'all, listen. We're not talking about a doctor's appointment. We're not talking about a dentist appointment. We're talking about a death appointment. A death appointment. Herod had his Hebrews 9:27 appointment on this tragic day. Can I read Hebrews 9:27 to you? Very sobering verse. Same word is used. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. It is appointed. It's appointed for every man in this room and in this world to die. Can I just give y'all a quick, just a confession? My wife is here. She can hold me to it. I'm notorious for rescheduling my doctor's and dentist's appointments. Am I right? She's, look at her. I'm telling you, you can ask her. I'm notorious. I'm like, oh, change it to this day, change it to that day, change it to this day. I don't want to go this day. I got to meet with Mark that day. I got to meet with Terrence. I got just, no. I don't want to. And she's like, babe, they ain't going to, you can only, I've probably three or four times I've rescheduled my doctor's appointment, especially my dentist's appointment, and my sweet wifey. So patient with me. Thank you for rescheduling all those appointments. I appreciate it. But you know what? I can't reschedule my death appointment. You can't reschedule this one. The one who schedules this appointment is not my sweet wife. It's our sovereign creator. God himself has scheduled your death appointment for you, and it cannot be changed. Got a question. Did you know that just like Herod, the day of your death was fixed and set by your maker before you were even born? Hey, young fellas on the back row, did you know that the day of your death was set by God before you were even born? You can't change it. Give me some proof. You're just making that up. Let me give you some proof. Psalm 139, verse 16 says, Lord, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. He says, every day of my life was written. God's got this book, okay? God's got a book. And every single human being, man, it's got to be a big book, but he's a big guy, right? Every single human being, God writes your birth date, February 3rd, 1985, and he writes your death date before you're born, January 5th, 2050. Every single person, Kempton Turner, May 15th, 1975, February 3rd, 2052. It was appointed. In a sense, we were all born on death row. Except we don't have a clue as to when our actual death date will be. And you know what? That's the scary shock about death, right? You don't know if it's next month. You don't know if it's tomorrow. Like if God would just send me a text message, at least I'll know, okay, I got this so many days ago. I could at least see my daughters get married and maybe I can do this and maybe do that. And we just prayed this morning for a family that has a Suburban just like ours, and a truck ran into this family and the mom died and six kids are in ICU right now. We don't know. I mean, think about it. I was thinking about this, Terrence. When Herod got up out of that huge ivory bed in that palace, he didn't know that it was his appointed day to die. When his servants fed him that royal breakfast that morning, he didn't know it was his appointed day to die. When he put on those shiny silver robes, glistened in the sun, he didn't know it was his appointed time to die. When he sat on that throne and all of his pride, and he was like, this is my speech, listen to it. And they said, the voice of God. Now, he didn't know he was about to drop dead. It is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment. And I hear people say all the time, even in my hometown of East St. Louis, oh man, I ain't scared to die. I see death every day. Yeah. So maybe that's true. But listen, death is not the problem. Did you know that? Hmm. Don't be impressed when somebody say, I ain't scared to die. Because death is not the problem. It's what's on the other side. Can somebody say the other side? The other side. That verse in Hebrews says it's appointed man wants to die, and after that comes judgment. That's the problem. It's not death. It's what's on the other side of death's door. It's kind of like a horror movies, right? I don't know if y'all like scary movies. Who like confession time? Like, who likes, okay, Jen back in the back, like three people, four people like scary movies? And it used to be back when I used to watch them, the black guy, I don't know, he died first. I'm not pulling that card in it, I'm just saying, the dude was like, he just kind of died first. It's like, oh no, Tyrell wouldn't do this. It's like, why he have to go? Anyway, it might be different now. But you hear that music, right? And it's like, and it got a flashlight and a dark place. I mean, go to Denny's. It's open. I mean, it's late, but it's Denny's at least. Oh, why do you? Anyway, they're like, moving towards the closet, and they see a chainsaw underneath the closet. They still see a mask peeking over the top. Now, watch this. They're not scared of the door. Oh, the door is going. They're not scared of the door. It's what's on the other side. So don't be impressed with people who say, I ain't scared to die. Death is just the door. It's what's on the other side. It's the judge on the other side. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 10:28. He says, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Don't fear the door of death. Fear the judge on the other side of the door. I don't understand why people say only God can judge me. I saw that on a car 2 days ago. Only God can judge me. Do you know what you're saying? That's the scariest phrase in the world. You must not really know who God is. People who say, get out of my face, only God can judge me, don't know who God is. He is not just a God of mercy. He is a God of wrath. It's right here in Acts chapter 12. We see it side by side, Zach, right here back to back in Acts chapter 12. In mercy, Peter is delivered. But in wrath, Herod drops dead. Back to back, same chapters, same God. I'm going to be merciful to Peter. And I'm going to show my wrath to this proud King Herod. Get to know God fully. So I really feel like we need this. Can I see your eyes for a minute? We need this. Did you know Jesus, listen, Jesus is the most tender person in the world. And Jesus is the most terrifying person in the world. Revelation 5 says, Jesus is the Lamb. I mean, how tender can it look? Cuddly Lamb. Lamb. But it also says he is the lion that roars. He'll bite your head off. And he's the... No wonder that there's a heaven. Both. Romans 11:22 says, realize the kindness and the severeness of God. Some of us were like, oh, the lamb. I just want the lamb who loves me. Praise God for the lamb who loves me. But beware of the lion who destroys. On this appointed day in actual human history, Herod came face to face with the terrifying severeness of God. The question is, are you ready for your appointment with your Maker? So, number one, as you realize that God is unstoppable. And number two, as you realize that you have an appointment with this unstoppable God, there's only one thing left to do from this text, and this is our last point. You know what that is? Give God the glory. Give God the glory. Can you say that with me? Give God the glory. That's what he's saying. Kempton, give God the glory. Look at verse 22 again with me. And the people were shouting, the voice of a God and not of a man. Verse 23, immediately an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. So I want to ask you a question. I want you to answer it from verse 23. All the big questions in life are answered by the Bible. Did you know that? So based on verse 23, based on the scriptures, why did Herod die? You can shout it out. What? He didn't give glory to God. Now, I'm going to ask you again, because this is big. You can say it louder. Why did Herod die? Pride. Yeah. Amen. You hear that? That's right. All those words. Pride. He thought he was more powerful. The verse explicitly says, and y'all said it, he didn't give God the glory. What does it mean not to give God the glory? It means, listen, watch this, because you need to listen to this. Young and old, you got to hear this. This is so serious. What does it mean to not give God the glory? Well, part of what it means is not living like God is the most important person in existence. What does it mean? It means not living like God is the most important person in your life. It means not praising him and giving him the continual credit for everything you are, everything you do, and everything you have. Did you hear that? What does it mean not to give God glory? It means not treating him like he's the most important person in your life. It means not praising him and blessing him. It means that you don't live a life continually giving him credit for everything you have and everything you do and everything you are. That's what it means not to give God glory. That's what it means to be Herod. When they said, oh, that boy, he is a god, like some people want to be called today. Oh, man, he's a god. Herod, he just soaked it up because he loved to be praised. He loved to be popular. He loved to get the credit. He loved to have all the Instagram followers. He loved to have more Twitter followers. He loved to have all the Facebook likes. He loved to have all of his YouTube videos have the most views. He loved all of that. It felt so good. If he was here this morning, he probably would say, Herod at the center of it all. Herod at the center, Kempton at the center, Mark, Karen at the center. When they praised this dude, he should have screamed Psalm 115:1. You know what it says? Not to us. When they said, that boy's of God, he's a God, he should have screamed Psalm 115:1, not to me, but to his name give the glory. He should have did what John the Baptist did. I must decrease and he must increase. Behold the Lamb of God. He should have did what they're going to do in two chapters from now. Acts 14, when Paul and Barnabas start getting worship, they rip their clothes and say, no, we're just human beings like you, Devin. We're just human beings like you, Michaela. Please don't give me, no. I want you to listen to this, young and old. I've been thinking about this, Chris. I've been thinking about this phrase. Not giving God glory is the most dangerous and deadly thing you can do. Did you hear that? Wow. I don't think I've ever thought about that. Not giving God glory is like the most dangerous and deadly thing you can do. I mean, think about it. I was just looking at this verse. Herod violently attacked believers in verse 1, but God didn't kill him. Herod killed James with the sword, which means he probably took his head off. But God didn't kill him. Herod arrested God's top dog, Peter, and was about to have him executed. You would think God would take him out for doing that, right? God didn't kill him. So why would God kill him for just not giving him glory? I mean, God killed Herod just because he didn't tell the crowd, hey, thanks. I appreciate the encouragement, but God actually gave me those abilities. And so praise him. Like, he killed a man for not saying that, but he didn't kill him when he killed somebody? Hear this. God killed Herod because he attempted to steal God's glory in his self-promoting silence while he was being praised. He soaked it up. Herod refused to do the one thing that is most important to God. Herod refused to live out the number one reason that God gave him life and breath and position and abilities for God's glory. Y'all need to hear this. Isaiah 43:7 says, of all humans, God says, I made you for my glory. That's why you breathe. Not to sing, not to rap, not to play basketball, not to get married. All of those are good things. But the reason that you even were not stillborn or aborted, the reason that you didn't get killed in that close call, the reason that you're still breathing right now, God is telling you this morning, I spared you for my glory. You breathe for my blessing. You are alive to make my name known. The reason that you made it out your mother's womb into this place called earth is for my glory. That's why you exist. That's why you blink. That's why your intestines are in your stomach. That's why you have a liver and a heart. That's why you have blood cells. That's why you have a brain. That's why you have eyelashes and eyeballs and toes. You live and move and breathe to show the world that God is the most important person in the universe. And not doing that is the most dangerous, deadliest thing that you could do. I can't overstate this. And I admit, I don't get it all. But God is most concerned about his praise. And if you were as amazing as God was, which you are not, you would be most concerned about your praise too. Listen to Isaiah 49, verse 9 and 11 says, God says, for my own name's sake, I delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you. For my own sake, for my own sake, I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not give my glory to another person. God is geeked about his glory. This is why he killed Herod, for not giving him the praise that he deserves. But did you know that this is not the first time that God killed somebody for his glory? Most of us didn't learn this growing up. The Sunday school teachers kept this from us. But Precious Hannah in the Old Testament says, quote, 1 Samuel 2, "There is none holy like the Lord. The Lord kills and he brings to life." Did you know that God killed Hophni and Phinehas in 1 Samuel 2:25? Did you know that God killed Uzzah in 2 Samuel 6:7? Did you know that God killed Nadab and Abihu in Numbers chapter 3, verse 4? Did you know that God killed Nabal in 1 Samuel 25:38? Did you know that God killed his own people, Christians, in the New Covenant and the New Testament at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11:30 for demeaning the Lord's Supper that we're going to take in a little bit? Maybe it's like, okay, wow, maybe I shouldn't take that. No, it's okay. Just check your heart. Make sure it's for the king and you're all good. Did you know earlier in the book of Acts that God killed Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5? And here in Acts 12, King Herod, all for not giving God glory. Let me tell you, this has been stirring in my heart all night, man. Like, how do you preach this? Don't play with God's glory, Kempton. And as we prepare to close, I just want to lovingly warn you. If you want to be like Herod and keep living for yourself in your pride, God will kill you too. Forever in hell. I want to love you enough to tell you the truth. Revelation 20, verse 13 through 15 says, "All were judged according to their deeds." This is the judgment at the end. "Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire forever." And you got to get this before we close. You got to get this. Why the lake of fire, though? That seems way extra. Burning forever. And what's up with that? Listen, because Romans 3:23 says that all humans have sinned by, watch this, falling short of the glory of God. That's what sin is. It's not mainly that you cut somebody out or had sex outside of marriage or stole something. No, it means that all of those things demean the glory of God. All those things don't reflect that God is important to you. That's why it's sin. This means that sin is not mainly about doing bad stuff, but sin at its core is failing to glorify God. And this is why Herod and all of us deserve to die forever in the lake of fire. Soak that in. But wait, before I take my seat, I forgot to mention the most shocking death of all. That was for the glory of God. There was a sinless man who came to this world 2,000 years ago to do nothing but love, heal, and bless. He came to the final days of his life with a very heavy heart as he faced a bloody death on the cross. And so he prayed to his Father in John chapter 12. Listen, he says, "Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? No, this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name." You need to hear this. God killed Jesus on the cross for his glory. Not because Jesus didn't live for God's glory, he did every second, but because you and I don't live for his glory in our selfishness and sin. And this is the most important sentence in my notes. I want you to hear this. Lord, help us get this. Jesus took the eternal hellfire death that we deserve on the cross so that we can be forgiven for every time we didn't give God glory. Jesus took our hellfire death that we deserve on the cross so that we could be forgiven for every time we didn't give God glory. Thank you that you died for God's glory because I didn't give him glory, and now I can be forgiven and loved and graced. Now I can only know the lamb and never know the lion. Now I can only know the preciousness and never know the terror. Now I can know only heaven and never hell because those hours on the cross, Jesus died for the glory of God, for you because you couldn't. Oh, Lord, thank you. He did it out of love for us. He did it out of love for us. He did it out of love for us. We are all Herods, proud men and women. We think life is about us. We want people to talk about us. We want to walk into the room and everybody be impressed with us. That will send you to hell. Jesus took that for you, so that everybody in this room who would just say, you know what, I'm done living for me. This is so dangerous. I didn't even know how dangerous it was to be full of myself and not trust Jesus. Oh, God, thank you for another day that you've brought me here this morning to hear the good news that Jesus died for my glory-stealing self and that he loves me and he bled for me and what I couldn't do, he did for me. And he's here now saying, surrender to me. Would you bow your heads? How could you not see this suffering man on a cross and not throw away your pride and humble yourself before his pierced feet? Father, forgive me for every time that I tried to steal your glory. Father, forgive me for not speaking of your name. Father, forgive me for every time somebody patted me on the back that I soaked it up and didn't bless you, Lord. I deserve your wrath, but you've given me grace and mercy and kindness because of sweet Jesus upon that cross. And Lord, I pray that you would go by each seat and take the pride out of every heart and put in gratitude and humility for the cross of Jesus Christ and the empty tomb and how you still give us patience and mercy and kindness. And you've given us another day, Lord. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. How patient you are with us. So, Lord, I pray that we would leave here today trusting in Jesus, surrendering our name and reputation at the cross and picking up Jesus' name and reputation. I pray that, Jesus, you really would be at the center of it all. I pray, Lord, that we would leave here like 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether we eat or whether we drink or whether we're on the computer or the TV or whether we're hanging out with friends or whether we're eating or whether we are at school or on a baseball, basketball, football team, whether we're at the desk or at the computer hanging out or whatever we do it all for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. If you want to pray, pray right there. Grab somebody and pray with them. Some of us will be willing to pray for you. It's all about Jesus, not about us. This is the life of joy.
Just want to invite you to stand. I hear the Savior say, my strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Now, Lord, indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change a leper's spot.